So the aim of our study has been to understand the role of advanced addressing pedagogy in teacher education in the Finnish context, as we have heard already in the Marja-Leena Laakso's Vice Rector's welcoming words, that we are kind of facing a different both national and global challenges that are also relating in education. And in Finland, we have the fast polarization. And that's why we have been interested to understand what is the role of anti-racism pedagogy in Finnish teacher education, and also to understand how the student teachers understand the racism and how do they position themselves in the racism discussion. This is also something that we have discussed a lot amongst our team, because as you see, our team, we also have Amin Kengälle Manchi from Åbo Academy, who is kind of the only person who is representing the other race than white, other than hygiene also for us, who is has a roots somewhere else, and Auburn can be identified as something else, as a white. But this is something that we have discussed a lot about our own positionality, also going back to the yesterday's keynote, also in terms of the decolonizing the education and whose voices and whose perspectives are included into the curriculum and into the pedagogy. Rationally, in a Finnish context, we know that according to the statistics, we have had some survey by the Ombudsman for Ethnic Relations in Finland, who have come up with this kind of similar results, but the statistics, but also by the European Agency for Fundamental Rights, show that racism is a serious issue in Finnish context. And it is often recognized kind of as an on the individual level, some kind of a events or attitudes, but the systemic racism is not so well recognized. Also, the political atmosphere changed a lot during the summer 2023 in Finland, and there is this concern that teachers need to deal with these increasing tensions at school. Also, we have the conflict situation between Russia and Ukraine, which is very close to us, and we have both children from Ukraine and from with the Russian origin in a school. So there are a lot of diverse level tensions that teachers need to deal with at school. And then also kind of the whiteness as a structural phenomenon in the Finnish society and education. And this is something that is really difficult to kind of recognize and tackle. I had this really interesting conversation with my own son, who is now 18. We had a movie night together, and he chose the movie. We watched the Black KK Klan Man, and when we start to watch the movie, he was saying, because we also are from different race, so he started to talk to me before we watched the movie that how difficult it is for him to kind of that he's representative of two different races, but then kind of like the position that is given to him, for example, as a white, is not something that is given to him because he doesn't look like one. So he was talking in the beginning of the movie about these difficulties of his own positioning. And interesting, in the movie, they mentioned the Du Bois double consciousness. So then I said that, hey, you know, this is kind of the position that you can take also that kind of this double consciousness that you can observe, and you have to, it's not only that you can, but you have to observe things from a different perspectives, but then of course you are not always given the position that you would want to take. But these are kind of the conversations that are very important, and also goes to this like whiteness as a structural phenomenon in the Finnish society. And then the students with not only migrant background, but for example, students like my own children, how do they get the access to the education system, and then how the education system perceives them, and then also one big struggle that we have in the Finnish society, that we have not been able to integrate those who have moved, whether they are second or third generation in Finland, for example, in a large numbers to our teacher education. So we really lack the diverse perspective in that sense in our teacher education. Of course, we all come with a diverse background, so our backgrounds cannot be diminished in the education. And then also through the research, teacher education does not prepare enough well our students to recognize the racism and to respond to these events that take place, and also in recognizing the whiteness and the racism. So one is to kind of see things happening, but then the other one is also to understand it in the structures. Then about the race and racism, Lorde has been discussing this a lot while we've been writing, and in a sense, I think this is very important in our education system to kind of understand the superiority and kind of the privilege that for example, I myself have in our education system, being white and having position in higher education, also speaking Finnish as a mother tongue. And then the internationalized racism, which kind of refers to the process by which the racism becomes often unconscious. And how do we deal with that in the teacher education? Also understanding the individual cases versus the structural racism, and how much easier it is sometimes to recognize the individual cases instead of the individual, also including the curriculum that I think yesterday's also keynote is very relevant in relation to this study. Then this everyday racism cases that are kind of in everyday interactions, and in Helsingin Sanomat last Sunday, there was a very interesting article about how migrants or people who are identified as migrants in Finland, that how in their experiences they have had to work in kind of becoming recognized. And there was this one person with a Somali background, and how she was saying that how when she was living in London and moving back to Finland, how she realized that she has not paid enough attention to the everyday racism that take place in the Finnish society specifically. And then when we talk about the structural racism, cultural and language diversity, that is very much prevailing in our educational policies in Finland, both in national curriculum and also in a teacher education curriculum. It kind of fades away the discussion of a race and racialization, because we have very strongly embedded cultural and language diversity. But then also, what is the voice of the minority languages? That's another important question. And then there's a kind of different ways of becoming aware of the structural racism, scientific ways of understanding the racial hierarchies, as a curriculum and examination of the whiteness through the race, culture, and systematic privilege, and how that is producing the racism. And then also Henry C. Roux has actually said that it should be in a society, for example, like Finland, that it would be much more important to focus on the whiteness than the racism, because that's how the racism becomes actually visible when we examine the structures for the whiteness. So it is a kind of a structural phenomena in our education when we look into the curriculum. And I was also very interested to hear one student thesis presentation on the international students' experiences. It's a thesis from the University of Helsinki, and they specifically look into the curriculum, and we look forward to read the master's thesis when it's done. And then how these things are invisible in everyday discourses, and also in the institutions, and how through the examining these we can understand more. Then we also have the intersectionality. And whiteness was actually something that we got from our reviewers. They said that we have to more focus on the whiteness, because we are also mainly white researchers researching this thesis. So we were also challenged this through the reviews that we got for our paper. So it is something that is real. But we had more, I guess, in the paper focused on the intersectionality, and which takes into consideration multiple categories, and also this is really important in the Finnish context when we have so strong a cultural and language focus in the curriculum, and how anti-racism education can actually benefit from the intersectionality, but also from the whiteness structures. And I mean, intersectionality is about understanding how the different intersections in within us are also important in everyday pedagogical practices, which goes back to today's keynote also, like, is feminism only about women? And then when we say women, is it, you know, also what race, background, education background? So there are very many different things that actually impact our positionality, which is important. And now I hand over to Kara, which I because she was behind my back when I was presenting our team. Kara is the very key person in our research team, because Kara was a worked as a researcher in our research. Unfortunately, her contract has ended, but she was a very key person. I apologize that I'm
no, it's okay. Research. I was just standing there creepily for no reason the entire time. So hi, I'll continue and talk about the data and the findings that we have from this project. So as Heidi said, we started a curriculum analysis focusing on the classroom teacher education programs from the universities that were participating in the study. So we had University of Uvasila. But what we're going to present today and what we've completed and written about in this article is the survey findings. So what we had was a survey, a qualitative-oriented survey with yes-no questions, open-ended questions, 7 questions in total. It was distributed digitally to the different universities, and we were targeting student teachers, people studying teacher education, early childhood education, classroom teacher education, subject teacher education, and we had no way of knowing who the respondents would be, but we targeted these respondents by sending them the survey to different email lists and different class lists corresponding to the intended participants at these universities. And the survey was available in Finnish, Swedish, and English. Like I said, completely anonymous, and we have no way of knowing how many respondents from each university, only that they're most likely students of teacher education. We also, in addition to the survey, had a couple of responses that came from study materials in the anti-racism education course that Heidi mentioned previously between the University of Jyväskylä and the University of Helsinki. And so in total, we had approximately 100 participants, but the responses that I'm going to show you, the numbers vary because some participants chose not to answer all questions or to give more details, whereas they may have just said yes, no, and not gone on. Let me continue then. And the first thing that we asked in the survey was literally, is there racism in Finland? Yes, no. And as you can see, the majority of respondents here responded yes. We started with this question because we wanted to sort of slowly ease into this discussion of racism. And like Heidi said, the aim of the study was not just for people to define racism as such, but for us to gain an understanding of their understanding of racism in Finland, in the Finnish context, but also the positionality as well. And I think already this question, I remember discussing it with Elena, like, what is the purpose of this question? Already this question with negative and positive responses opens up the way for a little bit more discussion of this. We then focus quite heavily on racism and how it is defined, and racism definitions. So we literally asked the respondents, what is racism? How would you define this? How would you describe this? We received, I think it was 113 results on this one. So the most results for this question. And again, when it came to this question, racism was seen overall as a type of discrimination, but in different ways. I'll read the examples that we have here. We have this respondent saying that racism refers to the idea that people are divided into races based on biological and social characteristics based on their ancestry, and that these different races are thought to have different tendencies, talents, and behaviours. The second, racism is actions and thoughts that target a person or group because of their ethnic background. Racists consider these people inferior to, for example, white Western people. I mentioned here that we did a applied segmented thematic analysis, and that we used intersectionality as a theoretical background. And this was very apparent when we looked at the definitions of racism. And if we look at it being applied, being described as a type of discrimination, we have several things that emerge from the data. So this idea that it's discrimination that can be both individual and group-based. It can be a form of discrimination or a racist act. For example, it could be verbal, it could be physical, it could be social, but it can also be institutional as well or structural. So this came up a lot in the definitions as well. And then I think one thing that was quite interesting, there was of 113 responses, we identified 25 in which there were more, at least three, I should say, intersections in different types of discrimination. So while ethnicity and skin colour are most often referred to as a type of discrimination related to racism, things like gender, sexuality, disability, religion, culture, country, all were. When we cross-related data, we also found some other themes emerging. So there was this dichotomy of immigrants and local minorities versus Finns that became apparent. There was a lot of discussion, unsurprisingly, about racism in the school context, especially in relation to study counselling, language support, and the ethnic background or perceived ethnic background of students. Again, this everyday racism that we mentioned earlier, whether it was individual, whether it was things like name-calling, or whether it was a structural thing. There was also quite a lot of discussion in results about ethnic profiling, which we thought maybe in part because media attention that's been happening, as Hayden mentioned earlier, since 2023, especially in Finland. So again, there was this discussion of structural and individual racism and everyday racism. And then, of course, many discussions of racism as different types of actions, such as verbal racist comments, acts of violence, slurs, but also things like generalizations and stereotypes were mentioned as well. There's a little quote here that I'd like to highlight because of, as Hayden mentioned before, this discussion of positionality. We don't know who our respondents were, and it's made us think a little bit about not only our respondents, but ourselves in relation to this research. This respondent said, "Personally, I don't have any specific and orthodox way of acting if I see someone encountering racism. I'm usually the one who experiences racism myself, and I've had many different ways to respond to it. Perhaps my worst habit has been to answer back and start a shouting match with someone else. My second way is to show a thumbs up and continue on my way. The third, and maybe the best, is to just not care. I think this is the most difficult because I always want to somehow respond to racism. I face racism so many times that I'm so tired of talking about it to white people because I feel that the racism is being downplayed. They may say it wasn't racism. I just imagined it. It feels like I can never tell you how it really feels to always be the one being treated badly, looked at angrily, yelled at, like the N-word." So after asking our respondents about definitions of racism, whether they felt that racism existed, we went on to ask questions in regards to, well, what should be done about racism? And do you know how to act when you observe racism? How do you act or react when you observe racism? And you see in the first one, should something be done about racism? The overwhelming majority of respondents were in favour and said, yes, something should be done. However, what's interesting is that when you look at the second question, do you know how to act when you observe racism? Over a quarter of the respondents there answered no. And this was reflected in their open-ended responses to how they described responding to racism, when they described responding to observations of racism. So there were many respondents who said that awareness raising was very important, that it should be increased. And so things like, as you can see in this quote, emotional work to accept differences, empathy skills and tolerance as well. The issue should be brought up for discussion on a regular basis. They should be talked about more in education and training. Even small actions can have a big impact. But racism is so deep in our structures, there is no one right way to remove it. However, doing actively this work, we can learn for the better. And finally, it's also very worrying that some of the decision makers in our country, they're referring to Finland, even a model of Finnish encouragement to race in Parliament. Also, observing racism, quite a few responses, the majority, in fact, in which the response was, if yes, well, I should intervene. Or I will intervene. However, there's a caveat with these responses. Intervening very much on situation. So as you can see, this first quote, the respondent is talking about the fact that if they feel the situation is dangerous, that there is physical violence, for example, involved, that intervening is tricky. There are also many students who linked without a prompt the idea of observing racism, acting racism, to the educational context. So, for example, many talked about their role as a teacher or as a student or working in educational institutions, as you can see in this quote. For example, as a teacher at school, you immediately intervene in situations where you hear racist language or bullying and don't just look through your fingers and say, oh, and move on, but explain strictly why it's wrong, why some terms are offensive and what they really mean. When it came to observing racism in an educational institution, another respondent commented, in educational institutions, when you notice racism by students or teachers, it should be addressed at the entire educational institution level. Educating students and teachers about what racism is and what it causes and how it can be avoided and why it is important. And then this idea of providing education as a teacher or how to specifically talk about racism and anti-racism. One respondent commented, no racist situations can be dealt with. Perhaps there could be situations in my own life where my student behaves in a racist way towards another student, in which case I would have a conversation with my student without blaming him or attacking his personality. A factual discussion on the topic, pointing out this thing often enough and confirming the desired action could be the means to guide the student's thinking and actions towards anti-racism.